What a blessed day when the Lord washed away my every burden. What a joy divine, what a glad, happy time, and I am certain. Though the years have come and gone, the Savior's still as sweet as the very moment that I first believed. I'm still amazed at the grace that He gave when I was holding to the end of my rope. Still in awe of the cost at the cross, so I can know that I know that I know that He will be everything that I need every minute of every day. At the wonderful, marvelous, glorious way He saves, I'm still amazed. Not a day goes by that I don't realize where I'd be without Him. And He's been so good, there's no way that I could have cause to doubt Him. He knew well who I was, but He saw what I could be. And from glory to glory, He keeps changing me. I'm still amazed at the grace that He gave when I was holding to the end of my rope. Still in awe of the cost of the cross, so I can know that I know that I know that He will be everything that I need every minute of every day. At the wonderful, marvelous, glorious way He saves, I'm still amazed. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I'm still amazed at the grace that He gave when I was home to the end of my rope. Still in awe of the cost at the cross, so I can know that I know that I know that He will be everything that I need every minute of every day. At the wonderful, marvelous, glorious way He saves, I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed.
Thank you, fellas. Good afternoon. That's good. That's good for 1:37 in the afternoon. My name is Tom Murray. I just want to take a second, welcome everyone. So glad you're here this afternoon. Another hand for Evidence of Grace. Aren't they? They're wonderful. Just a quick bit of housekeeping. Just want to take a second and thank our hosts this afternoon. Pastor Jesse Martinez and his wife, Carl in the back, brother Pastor Yankee Arnold, and I could name 20 more names of all the people who gave their hearts and their time over the last few days to make this event happen. We're grateful. Pastor Jesse is the senior pastor here, and for those of you who don't know him, he is a dedicated young man, I could say young, and he's a faithful guy, and his family is serving the Lord faithfully. So just help me welcome him real quick to the pulpit. He's going to open us up.
I want to thank you so much for being here. When Pastor Jim gave me a call and said, we want to host a Gathering Grace event at your church, I muted the phone and looked at my wife and I said, we made it. I'm like, we have made it. This is wonderful. We're so excited. And, you know, the reason why I'm so excited about In Grace and the ministries up there at Quinton Road is really for one reason. They have the gospel clear and they're willing to give it out. There's a hymn that I love. It is well with my soul. And that verse 3, my sin, oh my sin, it's just so wonderful to see that it was nailed to the cross. Amen? We bear it no more. Folks, this is what it's all about. If we're really in the last milliseconds of the age that we're in right now, when you look overseas and you see what's going on, it's not difficult to come to that conclusion. You know what we need to be doing? Not bunkering down, not cowering in fear. We need to be out sharing Jesus with the lost. And a ministry that puts that first is a ministry that I want to be a part of. I don't see it as a competition. I see it as a partnership. And I'm so thankful that they're here today. And if there's one thing we can communicate to you, it's that your sin has been paid. There's no work left for you to do. There's no work that you could have done to earn your salvation. All you have to do is simply take God at his word and believe that Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and rose again. When he was on that cross, he used an accounting term. It is finished. It's paid in full. And I rejoice in that. It is the wind in my sails, and I love it. I love the Lord. I love all of you for being here. Thank you so much. If you don't mind, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to have Brother Tom come back up. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we rejoice greatly in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus. I thank you so much that the gospel is free, that there's not one human being on this planet that is exempt from eternal life. But Lord, there are many things out there deceiving and distracting people, stealing their attention. And I pray that at least those here in this room and those who may be watching us online would make a commitment to be soul winners. And it's so good to be able to partner here with In Grace and host an event for them. We're so thankful for Pastor Jim Scudder and his wife and all of those who come and help, and those on the editing team, and just all the things that have to happen to be able to reach people. Lord, I'm glad that they have set their heart on the gospel. I ask that you bless this time of great fellowship and encouragement. We can meet new people, and Lord, above all, we want to bring praise, honor, and glory to you, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor. Again, we're grateful for your gracious hosting heart. Just want to take 2 seconds real quick. You saw evidence of grace. Want to introduce a couple of these people real quick. Pastor John Tanney, Pastor Dave Rendy, Joe Tanney, they are evidence of grace. Their wives, Kristen and Kim and Maggie and my wife Shannon, you met as the hostesses and greeters and 20 other balls they were juggling this morning. So I just quick thank you to them and all they did to also make this happen. I'm not an ordained pastor. I've been a business person most of my life, and recently I joined the InGrace team, and I'm blessed to be part of a group of people who are so insanely dedicated to the cause of Christ. We're gonna share some things with you. Pastor Jim's gonna share a message with you in a few minutes, but I'm overwhelmed at the amount of commitment that these people have made over the years to our family when we were just new members and putting our kids and taking a leap of faith in the school and the preschool, then the Christian school. And here we are almost 15 years later, and time flies, but I'm never more amazed than when I wake up each day and find myself able to serve with such godly and faithful people. Two of those are my pastor, Pastor Jim Scudder, and I'm gonna share a few words about him in just a moment. But his wife, Karen, they are the most dedicated and sold-out people for the cause of Christ that I've ever known. They are the hardest workers. If he weren't a pastor, he'd probably be the CEO of a company. That's how hard he works. And his wife works just as hard, and she has a servant's heart. And I'm just so grateful to co-labor with them. So I'm going to ask Karen Scudder to come up and share a few words with you. Let's give her a hand.
Good afternoon. It's really great to see all of you here today. And I got to talk with a lot of you, and that was really great. It's neat to hear your stories. It's neat for me to understand how to better pray for those of you that listen to our radio and hear our TV show. That really helps me to connect better with our audience, and I really appreciate that. We brought, I don't know how many of you saw him, but we brought our little 4-year-old grandson with us. His name is Charlie. He's just a doll. He wanted to fly in an airplane, so we said, okay, we'll bring you with us. So he got to fly on an airplane, and he's been so much fun to be with. And I wanted to share, we have 2 other grandchildren, too. We have a 6-year-old daughter, granddaughter named Willow, and then a 17-month-old granddaughter named Chloe. But it struck me the other night when he was with us, you know, he is trusting us to feed him, trusting us to take care of him and protect him. He doesn't worry about all the little details, like where is his next meal going to come from. All he has to do is just say, Nana, I'm hungry. and the food is laid before him. It might be cookies and Fruity Pebbles and chips. Don't tell his mother, but we're having a good time. But he just relies on me so, and Gramps, he calls him Gramps. Isn't that cute? Just relies on us so comfortably. And so, you know what? He has no fear that we're not going to take care of him, that we're not going to watch out. And it struck me last night when I was thinking about that, I was putting him to bed and saying his prayers with him, that you know what? Jesus wants the same thing from us, doesn't he? He wants us to trust him. It's a little harder for us as adults, right? Where is the next paycheck going to come from to buy this expensive gas? How are we going to afford the food now that it's so expensive? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? We tend to worry, right? And if you're like me, you give it to the Lord in the morning, and by 11 o'clock, you've taken it back, right? Well, how about we be like little 4-year-old Charlie, right? And what if we just say, Lord, I know you've got this under control. I know you have this in your hands, and I'm just going to trust you to take care of it. And I just want to encourage all of you with that. And I'm thankful that you came today. I'm thankful that you, and if I haven't met you, I want to meet you. Come up and meet me afterwards. And tell me how I can pray for you, because I would really sincerely want to pray for you. I talked with a couple ladies already, and I'm adding them to my prayer list. And so I'm thankful for Jesse and Kyla, who are hosting this, and Yankee and Betty. We're very thankful for them. So I think Evidence of Grace is up next, so we're blessed to hear from them.
Here in these walls, here in these rows, there are those who regret the roads they once chose. But more than the sorrow, more than the pain, there is joy for the way that through Christ they've been changed. There are lives freed from bondage of sin once concealed. There are bodies and minds, their spirits now healed. Those who found freedom and shook off the chains from the long years of guilt, anger, and shame. I see grace, I see grace in every life, on every face of the faithful who gather each week in this place. I see grace. There are those in this life who've been dealt a poor hand. They've overcome, and by God's strength they stand. Those who have come through unbearable loss, not defined by their past, but defined by the cross. I see grace in every life, on every face of the faithful who gather each week in this place. I see grace. Story after story, one common theme, God's power and glory, those he's redeemed. Such tender mercies, time after time, in so many ways, in the story that's mine. I see grace, grace, I see grace in every life, on every face of the faithful who gather each week in this place. I see the faithful who gather each week in this place.
Thank you, fellas. Many of you here this afternoon have supported In Grace in the past, some over the years, and just want to say thank you for your support. We're grateful, and your account will be rewarded, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. Time for a quick 30-second shameless plug. Evidence of Grace does a great job. They have some CDs on the back table, and right now on TBN as well as Moody Radio, amongst other places, TV stations down in Fort Myers, all over Florida, really. The new series on In Grace, Armageddon's Dawn, is going on. So there's materials in the back on that table to my left. There's a bundle special of the current series, Armageddon's Dawn. It's an 8-part DVD series for $30. In fact, it's been so popular, we sold out of the first run. So we're on a pre-order shipping again on March 24th for this new bundle of orders. I mentioned a moment ago, we came, my wife and I, almost 15 years ago to Quentin Road, and jumped in, started serving, started to do all the things the Bible calls us to do. And I've been amazed over these last 15 years watching a man who can juggle 20 balls concurrently and juggle them really well. He will do this today, scramble back to the airport. Tomorrow morning, we'll bring a message in a series for over 1,000 people at our church, and then head out to a religious broadcaster conference and meet people for our Bible college, Dayspring Bible College and Seminary, for the In Grace TV and radio ministry. The guy literally works 70 or 80 hours a week, and I'm always just, again, overwhelmed, consumed, and enthused by his passion, by his drive, by his energy, and most importantly, by his love for his Savior. I want you to do me a favor. This isn't a Tony Robbins rally, but I want you to do something with me, and I'll explain why I'm saying this in a moment. These four words mean a lot to us at Quentin Road and In Grace, and they are just one more soul. So could you just indulge me for 3 seconds and say that with me on three? Ready? Just one more soul. I'll explain why in just a moment, but in the interim, would you help me welcome pastor, author, teacher, Pastor Jim Scudder.
That's awesome. I was looking around to see who he was going to announce that was going to come up here. I'm like, well, that's not me. But thank you, Tom. Tom is a blessing. Tom and Shannon, mostly Shannon, but no, they're huge blessings to our ministry. God has had them involved for years, but now recently full time because of Tom is an entrepreneur. He's a startup entrepreneur, started a company, and has exited that company, and now God has blessed us with his involvement. And so he is a real deal, godly man, which it's hard to find real deal people in our world. But nobody at Quentin Road Baptist Church or at In Grace Ministries or Dayspring Bible College are fakes. We really do believe this. We really do love the Lord Jesus Christ. We really do walk with him. And you don't see that historically on television preachers anyways, and that's where it's hard to be a Jimmy on TV, right? Because you get lumped in with Baker and all the rest of them. But my dad was real, not perfect, but real. He started our ministry 50 years ago. He just passed away, and God allowed him to start our TV and radio ministry. Some of you probably heard him. He was known as the wallet preacher because he would pull out his wallet and share the gospel with it, as he learned in his Bible college, which is just across the state in Miami. I was born in Miami, and so I am a Floridian. I feel like I belong here today. I really do. I lived here for like 4 months of my life. I don't remember much of it. But it is good to be back to Florida. My dad and mom retired here. They've lived in pretty much everywhere that you can live in Florida. So they lived on the West Coast, Cape Coral, Punta Gorda. They went to the Keys. They lived in the Key Largo. That was my favorite place where they lived. And then he moved to the Villages for the last couple years of his life and then passed away there at the Villages Hospital 2 years ago. But it's because of them and his realness and mom's. And mom's moved back up, by the way, to where we live in Chicago. We're up in Lake Zurich, Illinois. So we don't say Chicago because none of you would ever come visit us if we lived in Chicago. So we live way outside in the country, way outside. It's really peaceful. There's only like a carjacking once every few weeks where we live. But we kind of laugh at these things, but it's getting pretty serious. Almost anywhere you live, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in our world. So we're really concerned about it, but I like what my dear wife said. Just to have that faith, that simple childlike faith. And that's how we're saved. It's not, you know, how much faith you have. It's the person that you put your faith in. And that is God in the flesh, Jesus. And if you, then after we have been saved, it's really every day is just learning how to trust him more and allow him to work in you and the Spirit of God that is indwelling you and sealing you. So it's all about grace, and that's why we are called in grace. We live in a turbulent world, though. We didn't know when we started Armageddon's Dawn, the TV and radio series that we filmed on location in Jerusalem, that when we'd be broadcasting it, we filmed it back in July. When we'd be broadcasting it, we'd be at the cusp of World War III. Now, are we at the cusp of World War III? I personally don't think so. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But I do believe that we are in or very near the end times. We're going to talk about that. What are some of the signs of our times? Well, Russia is obviously a huge one on our mind. I don't know about you, but if there's something big happening in the world, I'm watching it. So every day I get home and I turn on, I hate to even admit this, but I've actually watched a little CNN because they have their own correspondents in country. It's funny, their reporting's actually pretty accurate right now, as long as they're not talking about domestic, you know, politics and our president and stuff. It's pretty good. But, you know, you're watching Fox News. One of the correspondents over there is Mike Tobin. He's a friend of mine. I mean, the guy, they're in Kyiv or they're in harm's way, and it's crazy what's happening in our world. And then you have Ukraine, who's talking about, you know, Russia's disrupting the New World Order. Well, that's worrying too, you know, that they would say such a thing. The whole world right now is against Russia, the whole world almost. So it's unbelievable how all of these things seem to be lining up with what the Bible says. Russia on the march, are they, is this the war of Gog and Magog? We'll talk about that in a second. We have, of course, the pandemic. Is it done? Are we done? In Chicago, we just the governor just allowed the mask mandate to end. We've been masking indoors, well, not all of us, but as many people have, for a long time. And for sure, I mean, I believe this was a real serious problem, a health concern. I think we've overreacted. But the whole world overreacted. Never has the whole world given up liberties and rights at once than we did during this pandemic. So what is that? What is happening? I think it's just conditioning us as a world to give up rights and to give up liberties and to give up sovereignty. The Bible talks about a one-world government. It's hard to imagine how that could be possible. Because, I mean, we're not going to give up our sovereignty as a nation, and I don't think we should. You know, that's why a lot of people like President Trump, was because he said America first, we're not going to give up our sovereignty, we're going to protect our borders and all of those things. And I believe in those things. But there's going to be a one-world government. One leader will control the whole world according to the Bible. So the global pandemic, I think, is feeding into that in some way, that we're very easily giving up our liberties and our rights as Americans and also as the world. How about all the unrest and all the rioting and all the problems that we've faced recently in our world, in our country? Of course, we have rampant immorality. We have pretty much anything that is against God is what we're promoting today. If it's in the Bible as right, the world is attacking that. Why are people spending, I don't care if they're liberal, Democrat, Republican, progressive, whatever, why would they spend any political capital on trying to get a man to be able to go into a woman's restroom? I mean, why is that such a thing? You know, it's crazy. I think it's only because God made them male and female. And so since he did that, the world is going to try to change that, which they can't, obviously, but they try. Heinous crimes. I was joking about a carjacking, but we had one recently. It might have been last night. There was a woman that was pulling over to help a stranded motorist. He yanks her out of the car and jumps in the car and takes off a couple miles from where we live back home. And he ends up hitting a light pole and is in critical condition. I mean, these things are happening in our world, in our neighborhoods today. Signs of the times. How close are we to the end? All I can tell you is no man knows the day or the hour, okay? So if you're a date setter, then I am not going to listen to you. Anytime someone has set a date for the return of the Lord, I'll promise you it's not going to be on that date, okay? That's one thing I know for sure. But we should understand the signs, the seasons, the months or the years or months leading up to the return of the Lord. We do know that some things are going to happen. Here's what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 24, and this was the Olivet Discourse, one of the very last things that he was teaching his disciples there on the Mount of Olives, which most of our Armageddon's Dawn series we've been filming from the Mount of Olives. And he said these words, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Have you guys heard of any wars recently or rumors of wars? You know, I mean, World War I was the war to end all wars. And then World War II came. And I promise you, that's not the last. Why are we having this event today? Well, we want to connect. We want to see, radio and TV are very one way. Some TV preachers say that they can see you through the camera. They can't, okay? We can't. We don't have that good of equipment, I guess. But we are glad to be able to meet you, to know who you are, to talk with you, to find out what your burdens are. And so that's why we came to Tampa. We had one of these in Milwaukee, one in Chicago. We're planning some others where we bring In Grace to you to get to know you. You can get to know us a little bit more, and you can hear what our vision and our passion is. Our passion is pretty simple. We love Jesus Christ. Television network in the world, TBN, although we are not in every way like TBN doctrinally, we certainly appreciate their reach and how many people can turn on a TV and catch us on TBN. So we're on every week on TBN. We're on Moody Radio here in Florida. We appreciate being on Moody Radio. They've been very kind to us. We're on every evening in pretty much all the way from, I think, Markle, all the way up past Crystal River. You can hear us on Moody Radio Florida, and also Christian Television Florida carries us out of Punta Gorda, and I think they carry a long way as well. So those are some of the ways that you can get In Grace, but you can also get us on YouTube. We have a channel on YouTube, so just search for In Grace, and then subscribe and put an alert, and that way you'll know every time we release a new show, which we just released one last night. Armageddon's Dawn 6 is now available if you haven't seen that. We have 8 of those, and those are all coming up. We're doing that on the weekend radio show and the weekly television show. This is the chart for that series. So when I say the end times, are we in the end times? What are we talking about? Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about everything from the church age this way, okay? And this is eternity, by the way, at the very end of the chart. So from now until eternity, these are the end times. We're talking about the rapture, the tribulation, the return of Christ, his thousand-year reign, the final judgment, new heaven and new earth. Okay? We just went through at least 1,007 years in that on that chart. So what I want to talk about today is where are we in this time frame? Well, Armageddon's Dawn is basically a series about the book of Revelation. People are very, very confused by the book of Revelation. Most churches don't teach it because for several reasons. One, it's confusing, they say. Two, there's a lot of views on Bible prophecy, on eschatology, and they're really worried about offending people, okay? I guess my dad never gave me that trait, that quality of worrying about offending people. And I know Brother Yankee Arnold certainly doesn't worry too much about that. By the way, it's so good to have Pastor Yankee Arnold here. He was a pastor here for many years. You've heard him on the radio. He's all over the country on the radio. You need to search him on YouTube. Unbelievable, great Bible teaching on the gospel issues and many other things. Dr. Yankee Arnold is a blessing. So look up Yankee Arnold and watch him. But he had COVID, almost died just a few months ago, literally. Almost died. We prayed really, really hard. And God had something else for him to do. So we're so thankful that he's here, that he's recovering. So in Revelation, what we read about it, we read about the church. The first two chapters, it's all about churches, the seven churches of Revelation. So we find the church mentioned 19 times in the first three chapters of Revelation. Okay? And then all of a sudden, we don't read about the church anymore till the end of the book. What in the world? Where did the church go? Well, I would say this is where the church went. It's called the rapture. Now, I use the King James Bible. I believe it's the best English translation based on the received text. That's a whole nother big, long discussion. We're not going to get into that now. If you don't have a King James, it's okay. It's okay. We're not kicking anybody out. But the word rapture is not in the King James. So what is this? Well, the Bible talks about the Lord returning in the air, not the second coming. This is the second coming when he actually comes back to the ground. When you say the second coming of Christ, this is what we're talking about here. This happens, I believe, at the end of the tribulation with the saints, with us, those that have received by faith Christ. So the rapture is not him coming to the earth, but him coming in the clouds. We will go up to meet the Lord, and those that have died in the church age will also go up to meet the Lord. Actually, their spirit will come with Christ, that will be joined, and we will all go up and ever be with the Lord. So that's the next event on the prophecy chart, on the map of prophetic events. That's the next event that is scheduled to come upon this world, is the rapture of the church. Where do we find that? Well, I don't know how that red line got on my computer screen. I don't think I can get rid of it, though, folks. So we might have to go through the rest of this with that there. I apologize. 1 Thessalonians 4, there's really three. 1 Corinthians 15 and John 14 are the three places that I find the rapture mentioned in the church. There were people in Thessaloniki, that's in Greece, that were worried about those that have died, had they missed the rapture, had they missed the return of the Lord. So here Paul is writing to them under the inspiration of God and saying, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I have plenty of people sleeping in my congregation. They take their best naps at Sundays at 11 o'clock. I'm not sure why. But we're not talking about people sleeping in church. We're talking about people that have died, okay? I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, Christians, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. I have done funerals for people that, the red line disappeared. We are in the end times, folks, I'm telling you. Weird things are happening. Wouldn't it be weird if all of a sudden somebody else started drawing on the screen? Putin. By the way, we started on TBN Russia. They took in Grace, and we just had to pay to translate into Russian, and they dubbed my... I speak Russian. Did you know that? Didn't have to learn it. They're broadcasting in Grace, and they started with Armageddon's Dawn, where I say Russia is going to attack Israel, you know? So anyways, pray because they say a million people watch that hour that we're on in Russia now, and we're on twice a week. 100 million Russian-speaking people can watch that. That was a real God thing, and we're just thrilled that we're now, I mean, of all times, the week they invade Ukraine, we start on TBN Russia. So anyways, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and let me just stop right there. If you want to go to heaven, that's all you have to do. Amen. Right there. What is that word? I mean, believe. That means trust. It's not about church attendance, water baptism, giving to charity, being a good person, doing more, doing better. It's not about any of that. Why? Because we're sinners. We have nothing. The Bible says, in Isaiah it says, when you offer up God your good works, you're offering up filthy rags. I'm going to spare you what that means in the Hebrew. You can look it up on your own. We are holding up absolutely despicable. That's our best efforts. So we have nothing to offer God. So we have to rely on Him because He loves us and we've sinned and we've rebelled. He sent His Son to die for our sins. That's why He came. He didn't come to teach us how to live. He didn't come to teach us how to die. He came to die for our sins. He was buried. In three days, He rose again and He's alive. And if you believe in Him, you are saved. And you don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about being unborn. How can you be unborn? You know, we raised two girls, and there were a few times that they probably wished that we weren't their parents, and there were certainly a few times that we wished they weren't our children, but once they're born, right? And the Bible says that Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. So born again is when I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. Okay, now I'm a child of God. That can never change. I can disappoint Him. He has a unique way of bringing us back in line, just like you as a good parent will have a unique way of bringing your children back in line. If you love them, you'll discipline them. That's what God does for us. He will never kick you out. He can't. He will never lose you or forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those that had died, that had put their trust in Christ, will God bring with Him. Bring with Him, okay? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. That word means to go ahead of them which are asleep. Why? My dad used to say, because those that have died have 6 feet further to come. Okay, and he's right, and he's buried in Florida. He's buried over in near Webster. Okay, so he's got 6 feet farther to come. Okay, we will not go ahead of them that have died in Christ. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is not Donald J., by the way, okay? This is the trump of God. We listen for the trumpet. My dad used to say, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. So, now the undertaker did eventually take him, but not him, just the shell, just the body, which God is going to take those elements and remake it into something that is immortal. Amen. And it's going to be glorious. The trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, 6 feet further to come. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. This is it. This is the word where we get rapture from, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's a glorious thought. It's a glorious thought. So I'm not worried about going through the tribulation because I believe this is going to happen before the tribulation. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, there's another thing that the Bible talks about, the battle of Gog and Magog. It is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it's a confederation of nations that come against Israel and attack Israel, and God spares Israel. What is it and when is it? This is part of Armageddon's Dawn. This is a clip that I interviewed a couple people, Joel Rosenberg and Randall Price, about this battle.
There is one prophetic event that may take place just before or right after the rapture. Ezekiel speaks of the Battle of Gog and Magog.
So in Ezekiel 38:39, we have a description of allied forces that come against Israel. And it's just like it's like a cloud covering the land. The leader of this group comes from a place north of Israel, is called Magog. It's the place of the ancient Scythians. It's the place today which is modern Russia. And Iran is also one of the partners mentioned in Ezekiel. He calls it Persia there, but that's modern-day Iran. It also talks about a few other places. All those places are today in modern-day Turkey. It's quite amazing, I mean, in many ways, that here's a prophecy 2,500 years ago or more. They're also all, in one way or another, perched on the borders of Syria, right above Israel at the present time. And that would be an invasion from the north, just as Ezekiel predicts. You can't make this kind of stuff up.
The prophecy is essentially that Israel has to be reborn as a sovereign nation state in the end of days. Mm-hmm. Check. Jews have to be streaming back into the Holy Land to resettle after centuries of exile. Check. Jews have to be rebuilding the ancient ruins. Check. Jews have to be making the deserts bloom with God's grace and mercy. Check. Israel has to become a very powerful country with an exceedingly great army. Check. And Israel has to become increasingly prosperous according to the prophecies. And that, in Israel's one of the most prosperous countries in their region. The last piece, Israelis have to feel like they're living securely in the land. The text of Ezekiel 38 and 39 doesn't say that there's peace, mm-hmm. but it says Israelis feel secure in the land. Well, Israelis feel more secure today mm-hmm. than ever. Why? We have a peace treaty with Egypt. We have a peace treaty with Jordan. We have a peace treaty with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Sudan and Morocco and Kosovo. We have the strongest military in the region, including the most advanced F-35 stealth fighter aircraft that can reach Iran if we had to without them even knowing. We have submarines with some very high-powered weapons on them lurking presumably off the coast of Iran and elsewhere if we need them. We're in the closest possible alliance with the world's only superpower. For all those reasons, it certainly looks like the precursors to the prophecy coming to pass are all in place. So what happens to the prophecy? Well, Magog is Russia. If you do the historical detective work, again, I explained that in Epicenter. Turkey is Gomer, ancient Gomer, which is mentioned in the prophecy. Persia is the ancient name for Iran. These are the countries that are the key countries, but there are others that will form an alliance to come against Israel in the last days. Now, just north of us in Syria, there are three nations whose militaries are there for the first time in human history: Russia, Iran, and Turkey.
Force is there's blood, there's death, there's famine. I mean, it's like right away you have all of this, the wars broken out. So the seven-year peace treaty, I think, is that one thing that starts the seven-year tribulation. It's a prophecy in Daniel. You'll have to take time to research. We've actually, on Sundays, been preaching through Daniel at Quinton Road Baptist Church up in, not Chicago. Up in Lake Zurich. So if you want to go back and watch those on our church website, quintonroad.org, you can watch our Daniels and watch the one I did a few weeks ago on the 70 weeks of Daniel, because it really this prophecy of the 70 weeks, 490 years, 483 are done, and there's another seven left, okay? So that's what this is. He, this is the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many. One week is a week of years, seven more years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Okay? That also means that there's a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. So behind me in Armageddon's Dawn, you saw the Dome of the Rock. That can't be there. It will have to be removed. How? We're doing a new show. We haven't started filming it. Oh, we actually did. We started filming on some rabbis that are looking for the red heifer. We filmed it in Texas. And we're going to go back to Israel in June to talk about rebuilding the temple, because they want to rebuild the temple. And I talked to a rabbi, and he said that he believes the rabbis would accept the Al-Aqsa Mosque staying there, which is actually the third most holiest place in Islam, and desecrate the temple right here, okay, right in the middle of the tribulation. He desecrates it, just like the Greek Antiochus Epiphanes did right before the Maccabees and Hanukkah and all that. He did it. I'm preaching on that tomorrow, by the way, at church at Quinton Road. And the Antichrist is going to do the same thing. Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig on the altar, made an altar of Zeus. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing in a rebuilt temple. The temple has to be rebuilt in the end times. And how do we know that Antiochus Epiphanes wasn't the one that Daniel was talking about? Because Jesus said, look, when you see the abomination of desolation. So Jesus lived after Antiochus Epiphanes, so it has to be someone after Jesus. By the way, it wasn't Titus. When Titus destroyed the temple that Jesus was in, he didn't want to destroy it. He actually told his soldiers not to burn down the temple. He wanted to probably do the same thing that Antiochus Epiphanes did, set up the Greek gods and say, these gods are better than the Jewish God. And I think that's what he wanted to do from the research I was able to do, but they were so angry with the Jewish people, they disobeyed his order and they burnt down and destroyed the temple. So that wasn't the desecration. It's still future because there's no temple there today until it's rebuilt and the Antichrist will desecrate it. The Antichrist opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the ultimate desecration of the Jewish temple right then and there. And then there's going to be intense persecution against the Jewish people from that point all the way to the end of the tribulation. I believe they'll come to faith, those that have lived up till the halfway point of the tribulation. They will be saved as a nation nationally. They will recognize Jesus is their Messiah, and they will be saved and protected and protected. And we mentioned where we think that is in the Armageddon's Dawn series. So let me just tell you this. There's a lot to be scared about. There's a lot to be worried about. Let me just tell you this. Did you know that every day in the United States, 1,500 people, a little over 1,500 people die every day from cancer? And about the same number, more, 2,500 die from heart disease every day in the United States. Did you know in the world, this is not even, forget the pandemic for a second. In the world, 150,000 people die every day. That means since we've been talking, 6,250 people have died in our world. Okay? So what's the issue? The issue is to those that don't have Christ, that are not saved, they're in for a extremely dark future. Not just the calamities coming upon the earth, but an eternal lake of fire. And you say, God wouldn't send people to hell. Well, he doesn't. We send ourselves to hell by not putting our trust in Jesus, right? By rejecting the free gift. But there has to be a hell. And hell, by the way, wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil. And we certainly all believe the devil should go to hell, right? And Hitler should go to hell, but somehow we think that we don't deserve it. No, we all do. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're prepared, if you've received by faith Jesus Christ, if you are a dedicated believer, meaning that you're preparing for the return of the Lord by sharing the gospel and by giving to those that need your help and all of those things that we know God wants us to do, not for salvation, not to stay saved, but because we are saved, you do not need to fear all of these things that are coming on the earth. How do I know? Well, in Luke 21, put your trust in Christ. If you have it, do it right now. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. Right now, I put my trust in Jesus. I believe in him. I believe that he is the Son of God, and he paid for all of my sins on the cross. I trust in him alone. And if you've done that, the Bible says you're saved today and tomorrow and forever. Have you made that decision today? Would you raise your hand? Any others? I've seen several. Any others today? Lord, we're so grateful for salvation. We are so grateful for the fact that you cared about us and died for us and rose again. We're so grateful that you have the future in control. And Lord, you're orchestrating without affecting our free will. You're orchestrating sovereignly nations rising and falling. You're setting the world up for one final conflict, one final battle, the battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation. So Father, we pray for those that are going to be in that. We pray that we can reach them before them. And Lord, we pray that their hearts would be open to the gospel. We thank you for in grace and what we're doing, Lord, around the world. We ask a blessing upon it, Lord, that we would do it all for you and all for your glory, not for the glory of man, but for the glory of God. In the Lord's precious and holy and wonderful name, we pray these things. Amen.
You know, there's only one way that we can have peace today, tomorrow, for all eternity, and that's through Jesus Christ. We can trust him with tomorrow. We can trust him with our salvation because of what he did for us on the cross, paying that sin debt in full. And then as a result, we can trust in him in the future. It is well with my soul.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord.
School principle. We walk the walk. We're not here for that in any way, shape, or form. And personally, I'm of the belief that God, when we trusted, and by the way, praise God for the multiple people this morning that made a decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. March 5th, 2022, it's your birthday. Give them a hand. This is your spiritual birthday today, amen? That's why we do it. I said earlier, just one more soul, and I'll tell you about that in just a second. But to finish the Dr. Scudder story, the other thing he did in every single episode, which Pastor Jim does to this minute, whether it's on TV, whether it's on radio, he presents exactly what you just heard. The very simple, very clear gospel of grace in every single episode. Amen is right. Thank you, brother. Because that's why we're here. I'm of the belief that God could have called us all up the second we trusted, made that decision, right, to trust Jesus as our Savior. Boom, we're in heaven. But he didn't. Why are we here? I would argue just one more soul. So to tie the breadcrumbs together and kind of finish this up, we're in a meeting a week or so ago about this event and the other event we just did, and the topic turned to one of the many ministries that we have and In Grace supports is something called Simple Steps Addiction Recovery. It's almost 20 years we've been doing it at Quentin Road. Lives changed, souls saved, families put back together, and he's got a burden to take it nationally. He wants more pastors and more people facing, and by the way, addictions have never been a bigger problem than they are right this second in the United States of America, quick aside. But he's got a burden, and he's got a heart for that. And so we're talking about that, and he's not doing that for the money either. We're talking about how amazing it would be, right? And we stop, and he stops, and there's this pause. And for a nanosecond, it was like he had the innocence of a five-year-old kid. And he said, wouldn't it be amazing if we could see just one more soul saved? It's just, I apologize, but it gets you emotional. I hope it gets you emotional because that's the guy's heart. And the heart isn't for fame or fortune or any of those things. It's just one more soul. Can we see one more soul saved? So at the end of the day, I don't know about you. I don't give to get saved. I don't give to keep my salvation. I give because I am saved, right? And God doesn't want my money. He doesn't want your money. Pastor Jim or no one on this team wants anybody's money. God wants your heart. That's all this is about. It's a heart test. So what we want to do is we want to share a quick video as we close today. And it kind of encapsulates all of the ministries that In Grace is involved with or touches. And some of them, frankly, generate revenue, and some actually operate in the red. They lose money. But I'm a fan in my business life. I often use the word interdependency, right? All facets and aspects of an organization, whether it's a ministry or a company, all need to work congruently together for it to achieve maximum effectiveness. The Bible speaks of it, right? All the members, right? All working together. Well, if you watch this video, I guess I would ask you to worry about one thing. And in your envelope, we pulled out a moment ago the prophecy chart. In that same envelope is a little card that looks like this. I'd ask you to pull it out for a second. More than anything else, and I mean this with all of my heart, we covet your prayer. Because there's nothing more powerful than prayer, okay? But this is something that just amazes me to this day. Pastor Jim spoke about the TBN door opening literally 30 days ago in Russia, and we had to put all this together and get translations. And the first episode, he wasn't kidding, aired on Monday. Coincidence? There's no coincidences with God. It's not just Russia. It's all of Eastern Europe. It's Ukraine. It's Romania. I could go on and on and on. It's all of the Slavic-speaking nations. Do you think anybody over there is scared right now? Do you think an unsaved person over there is worried about anything at this second? Do you think they could use a clear and simple presentation of the gospel right this minute? We just grew our Florida presence, right? We've got the Moody, and I didn't say hi to Glenn and Ryan. Thank them, the folks from Moody, for being here today, if you would. They handed out all kinds of swag, and we're grateful for you guys. We just increased our presence on Moody Radio here in the Tampa area, as well as all over Florida, and we're increasing our presence in Cleveland and other places with Moody. But at the end of the day, it takes time, it takes money, and the days are short, right? So what I would like you to do as you watch this video is I'd like you to pray. I'd like you to meditate on what God might have you to do, if anything. If it's prayer, we covet your prayer. But if you feel like God's leading you to add some additional support to the next Russia, Eastern Europe, North America, who knows where God, what door God will open next, right? we want to continue to do this because the days, the fields are white, folks, right? And we just need some more laborers, and you're the laborers. So I hope this video touches your heart as much as it did mine, and we'll play that right now, and I'll talk to you in a second.
This past Christmas, a little girl received an unexpected gift at a foster kid's party. While halfway around the world, another young girl has a warm place to lay her head. Reaching people with the hope and purpose that can only be found in Jesus is the heartbeat of Pastor Jim Scudder Jr. and In Grace. In Grace reaches far beyond the global weekly television broadcast seen by up to 150,000 people on the Trinity Broadcast Network, and countless more on YouTube and Roku, and heard on over 500 radio stations on which the clear gospel is shared on every episode that is aired. Through the affiliated ministries of the Quentin Road Baptist Church and the Dayspring Bible College and Seminary, the gospel is reaching ever further. In addition to recurring support for missionaries and churches planted abroad, and enabling the mission to extend far beyond the base objective, medical teams are also sent to India, Thailand, the Philippines, Ghana, and Togo, bringing more than doctors, nurses, and medicine. In Grace ministry teams also bring the hope of the gospel with them wherever the Lord leads. While hundreds of churches close their doors, tragically, for good each day, your support has helped to plant dozens of new churches in the U.S. and around the globe. In Fiji, thousands of Bibles were distributed to every public school child, and the opportunity was given for each to hear a clear gospel presentation. Missions teams were blessed to present creation evidence to public school students, as well as several secular universities. In Grace works extensively with the Angola State Penitentiary, as well as local juvenile detention ministry to minister to those incarcerated, and even provide scholarships for inmates to pursue a college degree. Locally, the Quentin Road Baptist Church has become a beacon of light in the Lake Zurich area, with dozens of local outreaches, as well as thousands of children in the Christian preschool, school, and Dayspring Bible College and Seminary. Quentin Road truly lives out its commitment to the next generation of Christian leaders. Quentin Road has, for over 20 years, changed thousands of lives in its Road to Learning program to overcome the struggles of dyslexia as well as other learning disabilities. Meeting every week at the Quentin Road Baptist Church is Simple Steps Addiction Recovery, which has helped thousands over more than 20 years reclaim their lives through Christ's power to break the chains of addiction. Every year, Quentin Road hosts a foster family Christmas party for hundreds of local children, and is known throughout the area as the highlight of these children's year. Dayspring Bible College and Seminary is committed to sending trained men and women from the U.S. and around the world to preach the good news, to plant churches, spread the gospel, and serve around the globe. We simply wanted to take a moment to share how so many lives are impacted through this ministry, and your support is changing those lives around the world, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and seeing new souls saved each and every day. Every gift has an eternal impact attributed to your heavenly account for the cause of Christ in this lost and dying world. And we trust this displays the vision of our pastor and team, and invite you to join us today and for all eternity.
Again, I hope that touched a nerve. It always does for me every time I see that video. I think of right now, our support, your support, is literally physically building two new churches in the Philippines. There's one in Downers Grove, Illinois, being built literally as we speak. There are ministries all around the globe, Ghana, Togo, and Africa. I could go on and on. And it's because of you, frankly, that these continue to spread the gospel. I would ask if you're led, we are fortunate. We've had two in the last week. We had one in Chicago and an event here today. And we have someone who came forward a few weeks ago, a benefactor, who said that they would, this is overwhelming for the fourth time to me, that they would match whatever we raised, whether it's in a donation, a credit card, a check right this minute, and you could put it in that envelope. We're going to have the ushers. In fact, fellows, why don't you come forward now? We'll take an offering. But what if it's a pledge, a commitment, they will do that. And if the Lord isn't leading you to financial support, that's okay. Go where He leads you. But prayer is coveted most of all. So as I take a quick offering here, I want to pray for God's provision. And so let's just take a second for this and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You for this opportunity to come together and freely open Your Word. I fear and feel that right and privilege may be coming to an end in the not-too-distant future. Let us not take what we have for granted. Let us not take the little time that is before us. Let us share the good news with everyone that we meet, and let our testimonies be lights in this dark and crazy and dying world. And Lord, I just pray that if someone is convicted right now, that You would lead them to grow this ministry, to grow more opportunities, more doors to be opened, so that only just one more soul would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Well, thank You and praise You for today, for all You have done and all You will do. I ask that You would bless the gift and the giver, and we ask all of these things in the mighty and wondrous name of Jesus. Amen. So we'll take a quick offering. Again, I want to thank everybody. One more hand for everyone that was involved in this today. It's been a great day, and we've had a lot of fun. There are more refreshments in the back. I know that Ryan and Glenn have a little more Moody swag on their table. I mentioned earlier there are some specials at the Ingrace table. There's also brochures, by the way, on Dayspring Bible College and Seminary. And then lastly, we have another ministry called Ingrace Travel. And if you want to have an opportunity to spend some time with Pastor Jim, there are a few more openings. They're doing a rafting trip through Colorado. I wish I was going on this one. They bring you in, and then they helicopter you out. And you have evidence of... Answers in Genesis folks, creation people who will be part of that. It's going to be a fascinating trip. There is an Alaskan cruise with Pastor Jim and some other notable biblical scholars. And then there is a trip next year to Israel. And I understand they just lifted some of their requirements, vaccines and masks as well. So if that was inhibiting you in any way, shape, or form, there's brochures for all of those travel opportunities on the back table. Listen, you know, we're here for a short period of time. I'm going to close this way. The Apostle Paul, when he was addressing the church at Philippi, you know, he said, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, he said, not because I desire a gift. He said, let me paraphrase. He said, I don't want your money, right? And Grace doesn't want your money. God doesn't want your money. I want your heart. We all have an account in heaven that we're making deposits into. Some of it's prayer, some of it's financial, some of it's my testimony, my light, my ability to share the gospel and to lead souls personally as well as corporately to Christ. And all he said was, I just desire fruit that may abound to your account. That should be our prayer today, and that should be our prayer for as much time as we have left here today. So we're going to close today. I'm going to ask Pastor Jesse to come back up to the platform and close in prayer. We thank you for being here. We thank you for your support. But most importantly, we thank you for your prayer. Thanks for coming.
I just want to echo that. We really appreciate you coming out here. I want to say two things before we close. Last year, I went to a Grace conference in Georgia for the first time that conference was held, and I partnered with Dr. Charlie Bing, who we know he's a missionary that we support here at Calvary Community Church. And that day, he left early to go to Ukraine, and he trained about 30 men on the clarity of the gospel. And the first thing I thought of when I began to research this Russia and Ukraine situation, I had a lot of joy because I realized that there may be 30 men that are already evangelizing people in Ukraine. And there have been people that have died. We know that. The death toll is rising every day. But I rejoice that that message somehow has reached people. If you're looking for a church here in Tampa, I would encourage you to come back and join us tomorrow. We would love to have you. We are dedicated to the clarity of the gospel. And I just want to encourage you to be praying for the folks over there in Ukraine. And the last thing I want to say to you is this. For those of you today who put their trust in Jesus Christ for the first time, you only have to do it once. It's called eternal security because it's eternal. Amen? Amen. I want you to know that I don't believe that was a coincidence. Our church ministry has prayed for you, and I rejoice for every single one of you who put your trust in Jesus Christ today. If you have any questions, I'll be here. I'm sure you can ask Pastor Jim as well. We'd love to talk to you about your salvation. But don't let it stop there. Go share that with somebody. Get on the phone with a family member or maybe your neighbor and say, hey, I had a birthday today. And you can explain to them how you were born into the family of God. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we close in prayer? There are refreshments in the back, and we encourage you to go and partake of those. Otherwise, I'm going to have to continue taking care of everything. And I'm kind of running out of space, if you know what I mean. There's a reason why this don't button, folks. But we're just so thankful that you're here. And I encourage you, if you're in the Tampa area, to come join us tomorrow for service at 10:30. We'd love to have you. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Father, we rejoice again in the clear gospel, and for those today who put their trust in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the full payment of their sins. Lord, there's so much out there right now that is deceiving people, and I pray that of those here in this room, those who maybe have understood the gospel for years, have been a child of God for years, that they would be dedicated to still sharing that message, and for those who just got saved today, that they would be encouraged and find a place where they can grow. We ask, Lord, for a double blessing on In Grace, on Pastor Jim and his wife, all of those who are involved in that program, especially the airing of this program in Russia. We pray, Lord, as people are no doubt in fear and concern, that they might turn on Christian TV for the first time and be able to hear the clear gospel from In Grace. We thank you, Lord, so much. We pray that you come before the end of this prayer. That would be wonderful, Lord. But if we're supposed to continue to wait, I pray that we would be found faithful in that time. Lord, the attitude that we want to depart with today is thank you.